What's up, Bridge City Church? How's everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, and it's a great honor and privilege to be able to be up here today sharing the Word of God with you. I'm so happy you decided to be here today worshiping God and praising His name. You know, there's 30,000 people right now in downtown Pittsburgh running the Pittsburgh Marathon. So when I say that I am really honored and privileged to be here with you all, and there's no place I'd rather be, I mean it. Like, I really, really mean it. My mother-in-law just texted me. She finished the half marathon, 13.1 miles. That is exciting for her. She set a new personal record, and that's great for her. I'm excited for her. She could put a new magnet on the back of her car if she wants to. I used to say I'm so worried that I'm married into a family that runs. But we're running a 5K in November. We're doing it, right, Jimmy? We're doing it. We're going to do it. Those Hokas are going to be running. But listen, we're going to take today and we're going to talk about one thing and one thing only. And I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm not going to try to get you to catch it subliminally. I am going to speak about one thing and one thing only because it's important. And I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But first, I want to speak to you about the last month. I took a month off from preaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings. I did not take a month off from sharing the Word of God throughout the week. I took a month off from Sunday mornings. That means standing in front of you on Sunday mornings. And I want to share with you what God did through that time. You know, a few years ago, you know, there's times in your life you look at as mile markers. And there's things that happen within your life that kind of mark that season. And a few years ago, there was a time that I recognized that in order for us to be able to see the harvest that God had for the White Oak campus specifically, that I needed to be able to step back and help equip others for the work of the ministry. If I didn't do that, if I didn't stop being other people, everybody's best friend, the campus wasn't going to grow because one person and a couple can't do everything. Rachel and I were the lid. And it was a painful season. It was a painful season to step back and not be everything for everybody. It hurt. Growing pains hurt. I know what you're going to say, Kevin. You don't know what that feels like. I get it. He says it every time, so I preemptively struck. That was a painful season. This season, what did I learn? I learned that in order to move forward, I needed to be purposeful in everything that I did because my purpose was redefined. I understand my purpose as a son of God even more than I ever have before. And in order for that purpose to be fully fulfilled, everything needs to be done on purpose. Every text message needs to be done on purpose. Every email on purpose. Every meeting on purpose. Every message on purpose. Every time I sit down with somebody, it's on purpose. Every conversation is on purpose. It's planned, it's prepared, it's prayed through. Because it's all part of the purpose that God's placed on my life and my wife's life and our lives, and it's a part of the church. So that's what I learned over the last month, taking some time off and focusing on things. So I thank you all for the opportunity to be able to do that. And it's an honor to serve with you all. And I'm humbled and honored to be able to stand before you today and continue the purpose that God's put on my life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the divine privileges that we have as sons and daughters of yours. Lord, I pray that each of us would understand the fact that we get to walk in these privileges every single day. And Lord, I pray that we leave here today with more of an understanding of who you are and who we are as sons and daughters of yours. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. And everybody said it louder. Amen. All right. Last week, Pastor Keith Tusey was here, the founding pastor of Bridge City Church. And I have the amazing privilege of trying to follow him up. As a matter of fact, preaching some of the same texts that he preached last week. and I'm going to give my best shot at doing so. But I want to follow up some of the things that he talked about last week. If we understand the privileges that we have as sons and daughters, we can walk out our purpose as sons and daughters even greater. So some of the things that he spoke about that we walk in is, number one, we have grace and peace. If we're walking in grace and peace every single day, we get to walk a little bit more powerfully. If we walk in holiness and blamelessness every single day, we walk with a little bit more swagger as sons and daughters. If we can understand that one of the privileges that we get to walk in is that we're adopted. We're fully adopted into the kingdom. The paperwork's been signed. It's official. It's locked in. It can't be canceled. It's not getting changed back. The judge's gavel hit the bench. It's done. We are children of God. Some of us have taken that position. Some of us are going to have an opportunity today. We just have to make the decision. Some of us have been running from it for way too long. Some of us are already, our hearts beating. I know he's talking to me. How does he know? Because I've been sitting where you're sitting. Our last one, understanding that we're called to be a part of his church. It's about us, not just about me, not just about you. It's about us together, unified. Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus to tell them it's about them, unified together. It's not just about one individual, it's about them. The show, This Is Us, it's about to be over, right? Or did it end? 4 weeks, somebody knows. 4 weeks, there's four more weeks. I got my popcorn ready. I stopped watching when it got super depressing. I didn't need to watch somebody else's depressing story. I got my own stuff. But everybody watched it. It was about what? The most popular show in the United States, because everybody likes watching everybody else's stuff. And it was about people. It was about a bunch of people. This is us. Ephesians is about us, unified, how we're supposed to function together. And it's so important. Why is there such an emphasis from Paul on spiritual blessings? Because he wants us to know who we are. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Spiritual blessings refers to divine privileges and resources available now that we're chosen, we're adopted, we're holy. Paul is writing this in prison, and he has chosen to remind us of this when he's in those circumstances. Why is it so important? Because if we can walk understanding these privileges, it's a game changer. And Paul understood that. I hope and pray that one day all of us can be in that same mindset. But if I was in prison, there'd be some other things that I'd be writing. Hey, bro, listen, the guards go to sleep at this time. I think I can get out. I can fit through this gate. I think. With a little shimmying and shaking and you pull. I have a friend who just became a prison guard. I've been messing with him a lot. It's really been fun. I know three people that are prison guards. Two of them are all tatted up, ride Harleys, look like scary, scary dudes. The third one, you should see his Christmas card. We play a game. Here's the three prison guard Pastor Nick knows. Biker, Christmas card. It's a really fun game. If you want to play, I'll do it with you. But I'd be writing different things in prison. Paul didn't. The average Christian, we read these 33 verses in Ephesians 1, and we just skim past them. We appreciate them, but we just skim past them, and then we proceed to take them for granted. We hear about these privileges, and we're like, oh, that's nice. We don't allow them to affect us and transform us. Church, I don't want you to walk out of this place the same today. I want you to walk out of here with a swagger, knowing who you are. And you can, if you fully embrace the spiritual blessings that Paul's speaking about here. So this is what we're going to do. I fully believe that if we know what we've inherited, it is life transforming. We're going to unpack Ephesians 1, 7 through 12. And I believe there is life transforming power when the Word of God is spoken over you. So I'm going to read verses 7 through 12 over you. I'm going to read every word. And I don't know what you need to do to remove the distractions around you, whether you need to close your eyes, whether you need to bow your head, whether you need to look straight at me, whether you need to tell the person next to you to stop looking at you, whether you need to tap them or give them that look you give them. But we're going to give reverence to the Word of God right now. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Listen, church, I believe there's power, life-transforming power in the Word of God when it is read and spoken over you. So I want to encourage you before we unpack those verses. When's the last time you just spoke the Word of God in your household? When's the last time you just read the Word of God in your household out loud? I'm not talking about opening your Bible app and having that dude read it to you. You all know his voice. Chapter 1. You know him. You've all done it. You've all accidentally done it. You're in your car, or you're in work. You hit it and he just starts reading the Bible. I hope you've accidentally done it. If you haven't, get to it. But I'm serious. Read the Bible in your house. Read it out loud. The best preacher you're ever going to hear is you. You know why? Boom. Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And unless you're speaking it, you're not hearing it. But it's for real. The Word of God will transform your life when you speak it out. So, I want to imagine for a moment. Can we imagine? Can we activate our imaginations? That was a question that deserved an answer. Yes. All right, I haven't preached in a while. We're going to go through the ground rules. You ready? Here we go. If I ask a question, I expect a response, right? I love it. Here we go. Let's imagine for a second. We're in Pittsburgh. We're going to go Daniel Tiger. What's the noise Daniel Tiger makes when you imagine? He does something. It's like a little song. Okay, imagine time. For all the older people in the room, Mr. Rogers. Okay, you go Mr. Rogers time. Because Daniel Tiger is a spinoff from Mr. Rogers. Let's imagine you have an uncle or an aunt. Okay, we're not going to pick which one. But they're loaded. I'm talking loaded, loaded. Not like kind of rich, they're loaded. And they are going to leave you a significant inheritance. We thought maybe 50 million, but then we discovered that that 50 million doesn't go as far as it used to. Okay? Inflation. Okay, $100 million. They're leaving you $100 million. That's a lot of zeros. Okay? When they pass away, that's yours. It's officially going to be yours. You get 100 mil, okay? We all good? We imagining together? We all there? We all in that mind space?
Yep.
Okay. My wife, we've done this before. She's like, I don't do million math. I can't even imagine what that, but anyways. Okay. How would that change your life right now? It would change some things. You'd start to live your life differently. Your worry would change. You wouldn't be worried about your retirement. You wouldn't be worried about your kids' future as much. You wouldn't be worried about your grandkids' future. Your 401k would not be something you're thinking about. Your 403b, that's for the nonprofit world. You wouldn't be thinking about that. For the younger kids, you wouldn't care what the crypto world was doing. Bitcoin would be a thing of the past. Because whenever you get that 100 mil, you're buying some Bitcoin. Or whatever the big one is now. What is it now? You guys are sleeping still. Dogecoin or whatever. Listen, you would live differently. Now, we're not going to kill Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so. We're going to let them die naturally. Maybe they're older. Maybe they're younger. We're just going to let them die naturally. We're not going to speak anything ill upon them. I mean, hopefully they die soon. Maybe. Be nice. So you can enjoy that 100 mil a little bit. But you'd live differently. You'd be more generous because you realized you're going to have so much. You'd be more generous with your time. You'd be more focused on your family. Because you wouldn't be trying to just constantly be running. You knew you were going to receive an amazing inheritance, and that inheritance would eliminate all fear, all worry, all concern. Let's flip the script. If you're a son or daughter of Jesus, you've already received an inheritance that should remove all worry, all concern, all fear. But we don't walk in it. How does the inheritance that we are promised as joint heirs with the King not affect us? It's promised to us. It's given to us. But it doesn't change the way we live. Well, let's see. What does the word say? If Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so came to Rachel and I said, hey, listen, when I kick it, you're getting 100 mil. I'd be like, listen, that's cool, but I need to see some paperwork. And when they bring the documentation, okay, when they give me the paperwork, I'm going straight to my attorney who was here at the first worship experience, and I'm saying, excuse me, Esquire Paladin, read all this mumbo jumbo and tell me that it's legit. Please read all of this legal jargon and make sure that it is legit, and I will sign on the dotted line because I want to make sure that it's all good. I don't clearly understand all of these statements, but read through it with me. I've signed contracts before. I've signed leases before. I've signed mortgages before. I've done these things with attorneys before. And guess what they've done every time? I've signed Lennon's adoption agreement. They've sat down and they've gone line by line. This is what this statement means. Do you understand it? Initial. This is what this statement means. Do you understand? Yes. You know why we're not walking in the inheritance? We're not reading the document. We're not reading the documentation that's telling us what we're inheriting, and we're wondering why we're not walking in the divine privilege of our inheritance. And you're like, oh man, he's right. I'm not reading that, but I'm going to take it a step further. I said that whenever I got that document, that I sat down with my lawyer or my attorney, and I said, help me understand this. There are connection group leaders in this church. There are people sitting to the left and to the right of you, in front of you, behind you, that if you went up to them with this book, this life-changing, transforming book, the Word of God, and said, hey, can I sit down across the table with you? Can we open this up? Can we read it? Can you help me understand it? Guess what they would say? Let's do it. Let's read it together. Let's understand. Let's break it down. Let's open the document and understand the privileges that we have. We don't understand the inheritance because we're not reading the document. You better understand that if my aunt or uncle was going to kick it and they give me $100 million, I'm signing the contract and I'm reviewing it. I'd want to settle in my mind that it's legit. And God wants us to settle in our mind that His word and His promises are for real. We all think. And we question sometimes. Does God really have it all figured out? Does God really know how everything works in our lives? Does He really expect this or expect that? God's plan is perfect. He knows how everything fits together. He knows how it all fits into our lives. Following God is exciting. And we're going to unpack Ephesians 1. Let's turn to verse 7. We need to understand that one of the privileges that we have, first and foremost, is we're redeemed. And we're forgiven. Let's read. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Let's first talk about redemption. Redeemed literally means to be bought back, to be purchased at a price. Repurchased, winning back what was previously forfeited or lost, recovered and restored. You know, restoration's a really popular thing now. Restoration's something that a lot of you all understand because HGTV is one of the most popular stations in the country. An acquaintance of mine, somebody I used to call a friend till he kind of blew up and he doesn't have a store on the South Side anymore that I can go see him and hang out with his dog, Yoko. You all know Steve Ford, Restored with the Fords? You know that TV show? It's on? No? None of you ever watched it? It's a great show. The Hounds know Steve Ford. They know all about Steve Ford. He restores homes in Pittsburgh, he and his sister. Brings things back to what they are designed to be. Restoration. Let's use an illustration here. If you restore something, it's because you know what it could be and should be. If God is buying you back, God bought you back at a cost, it's because He knows what you should look like. He redeemed you. He paid a very, very high cost for you. And the world wants you to think, the enemy wants you to think, he got a bad deal. But he didn't. You know, I ripped up every corner in my house looking for solid wood floors. Got bloody fingers because of the tacks on my carpet. And I didn't even know what I was looking for. I had to FaceTime people. Are these wood floors? No, Nick, that's subflooring. You sure? These look like wood floors. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. We put the tacks back in. But I don't know about restoring wood floors, but I do know about restoring something, and I'm going to share the story with you. I bought wood tables from Home Depot, 2 years apart, well, a year apart. One was $99, one was $119. Inflation. Same table. They were just put together. They were raw. I sanded these tables probably 10 to 15 times. There's probably 15 to 17 coats of polyurethane on these tables. You could ice skate on these bad boys. And this last time, one of my close friends was standing there watching me sand them. Watching me polyurethane them. And he's like, Nick, why are you doing this? I was like, because it's worth it. And he left that night. And I remember I was sitting on the steps. And I wondered to myself, why was I doing it? I was tired. I was sweaty. And I remember sitting there looking at the tables. And it was worth it because of the memories that were going to be made. The people that were going to sit at those tables, the stories that were going to be told, the laughs that were going to be had, the lives that were going to be changed. It was all worth it. All the restoration, all the sweat. All the beard hairs that are stuck in the polyurethane. I know where they're at. I'm dead serious. And I'm thinking about it now. How much more are you worth it to God? The restoration process. The redeeming cost. The story that you get to tell. The lives that are going to be changed. You're redeemed and forgiven for a purpose. Your life and what's uncovered by that process, the cost that was paid is because there's a difference. I want to read the Amplified Version. It's not going to come up behind me, but I really want verse 7 to come alive to you. In Him we have redemption that is our deliverance and salvation through His blood, which has paid the penalty for our sin and has resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of His grace, a sending away, a letting go, a release, pardon, complete forgiveness. It's through His blood. When we appreciate the cost of our redemption and forgiveness, we will understand it further. Listen, when you know the cost of something, you care for it more. And when you realize the cost of your redemption, it should become the most precious possession that you have. You become a good steward of your redemption, of your life. Let's keep going. Verse 8. He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Lavished. He didn't hold back. You know, I love the opening of the sermon bumper. It's just a copier, divine privileges, over and over and over and over and over again. The same copy. You know why? Because it's available to all of us, and it's a carbon copy. We don't get more or less. We all get the same. All wisdom, all insight, it's all ours. Every bit of the riches, every bit of wealth, every bit of grace, which is God-given power, it's all us according to His abundant empowerment. He gave us a large amount. Forgiveness and redemption is now ours. Wisdom and insight is now ours. Let's keep going. Verse 9 and 10. There's an assurance in knowing who we are in Christ. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. The mystery is revealed. Listen, God is not going to hold anything back from His children. Part of becoming one of His sons and daughters is that everything becomes revealed to us. The mystery of His will, God's great plan and purpose, which was once hidden, but is now revealed to us in Jesus. Every step of the way, we get more and more of His plan for us in our life. Do you know what would happen if He gave it to us all at once? We'd be overwhelmed and we would stop. I'm so thankful I don't know everything. I'm thankful that He gives us a piece of the puzzle every step of the way. And why don't we trust that? How many of you have ever bought a puzzle? Only some of you? I feel some of you never had a puzzle before? Seriously, how many of you have ever had a puzzle? Okay, thank you. I was worried. I was like, these people have never lived. They've never built a puzzle. You know, when you buy a puzzle, they come in a box usually, right? Unless they're a little kid puzzle. You buy a puzzle, you trust that every piece of that puzzle is in there. No doubt. My grandma used to always get puzzles. They're missing a piece. It's like, no, grandma, you lost it or you don't want to finish it. I'm not dumb. I've been around this block. You just don't want to finish it. But we trust that when we buy a puzzle, every piece is in that box. Why don't we trust God that He knows every piece of our puzzle? Think about it. The creator of the universe, we're going to doubt that He doesn't know the pieces of the puzzle. But Mattel, Heinz made a puzzle over the pandemic. It was all red. It was like a 1,500-piece puzzle. Talk about torture. It said Heinz in the bottom right-hand corner. People are sick. They want to put that together. Like the pandemic, a worldwide pandemic wasn't enough. They want to put a puzzle together. It's all red. But we don't trust God that He knows all the pieces. He'll reveal the plan at the right time, the right place, because He will fulfill His purpose in all of our lives, all things in heaven and on earth. This speaks of assurance. Listen, the world seems out of control. There's war, there's corruption at the highest levels of governments, there's immorality in people that we didn't even dream of 15 years ago, but the truth is that Jesus has a plan. Jesus doesn't see that the culture's out of control. Jesus hasn't given up on the world. Jesus knows what to do when the time is right and His time is perfect. His plan is perfect. It never will be unperfect. It never will stop. I'll say yes and amen to that. Jesus' identity and mission and mystery is revealed in his word, verses 9 and 10. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which is set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. His mystery will be revealed to us. Here we go. The culmination of our verses. Our inheritance. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. Because of him, when we're with him, when we're walking with him, when we're in relationship with him, when we're spending time with him, when we're worshiping him, when we're becoming more like him, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that he who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. We have obtained an inheritance. You know, Pastor Keith spoke last week that his sons and daughters we have made a choice to take that position. And he explained so beautifully that as the church, there are certain things that are predestined for the church. I want to explain that a little further. Let's go back to Tiger Town. Daniel Tiger's world. You ready? Do-do-do-do-do. Let's imagine that God has built a train track. Okay? You all there? Train track.
Yeah.
Boom. Lennon's going to love this. You should play this back for him, Rach. My son loves train tracks. God knows the beginning of the train track, knows the end of the train track. Is this sounding familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. What goes on a train track? Okay, y'all are good. You guys are getting good. Okay. The train is on the train track. And it's going to go where the track decides for it to go. The train is the church. It is your choice whether or not you're going to get on the train. You're not the conductor of the train. You're just on the train. We don't get to decide where the train is going, but we all get to say, toot, toot, and celebrate. We're on the train. We're all going where God is deciding we go. Some of us sometimes decide to get off the train. And then we get back on the train. But the train is going to keep on moving. Because Jesus' church is not and will not and can't be stopped. Not even the gates of hell will prevail. The train's going to keep on moving. I wish Dupree was up here. He could just be on the guitar playing some sort of song. Because the train's moving. Crazy train, just the beginning. It's your choice. Why is this difficult to grasp for us sometimes about our inheritance and about our privileges and about the excitement about being on the train? Here's why. We get distracted. We're human. We all get distracted. I know people get distracted by squirrels. Seriously. You ever watch Up? I have friends that are like that dog. Squirrel. I'm serious. But we get distracted by grief and pain. We're going through something. Grief and pain distracts us from our privileges as sons and daughters, from the promises that Paul is reminding of us of in Ephesians 1. That's why we need to be reminded constantly. That's why Paul's writing from prison to remind us, because he knows how important it is. You can't tell me he's not going through some grief and pain in jail. Listen, he's doing some things in this jail. There's no plumbing in jail where he's at. It's not like ACJ. They don't have basketball courts on every level and iPad time. There's a dirt hole in the corner where Paul's at. Maybe. There's no flushing. He's covering it up. I'm painting a picture. There's grief and pain. He's distracted, maybe, but he's still reminding us and himself who he is in Christ. Guilt and shame can distract us. Unmet expectations in our life, even by the people around us, can distract us from where the train is going and what God's trying to do. It can sometimes derail us from the train. The train's not coming off the track, but we can get knocked off the car. Here we go. Wrong beliefs can distract us. I don't want you getting your devotion time done on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram. These TikTok preachers. Here, this one will hurt. Distractions, lack of discipline, application, understanding. We need to constantly be refreshing ourselves. We need constant refreshing. We need constant attention. We need constant reminders. We need constant assurance. God's not going to hold back to answer our questions of who we are and who He is. We just need to ask the questions and be assured. As sons and daughters, we are not going to be held back from. God's not going to hold back. Here's a real life illustration of that. My son's 4 years old. He's asking really exciting questions. I answer his questions. My wife answers his questions to the level of which he can understand. Okay? My wife went away for 3 days, first time she ever left for overnight stuff. She went to a conference, church conference, and first time she's ever been away from Lennon. Lennon woke up Thursday morning, looks at me. I go to change his diaper, and he's like, no. You can wait till Mama comes home. I was like, buddy, Mama ain't coming home till Saturday night. He looks at me. He realizes that's a long time away. He can go ahead and do it. I change his diaper. He stands up. He looks at me. He says, do I call you Mommy now? In that moment, I had to assure him, no, I'm still Daddy, bud. And I proceeded to answer 5 million other questions the remainder of those 3 days. But as his father, I had to assure him of things. As sons and daughters, we need to constantly be asking God for assurance. Constantly be seeking Him. Worship team's going to start to make their way up. And as they do, I want us to place ourselves in a position to just remove the distractions around us. I don't know whether that's you have to close your eyes, bow your head. But I want to read one last verse over you. Put things in perspective. And ask some final questions before we have a moment where we receive communion as the church. Matthew 7:20. This verse is very easy to understand. very pointed. It's very clear. And it says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can also identify people by their actions. Listen, people, trees don't work to produce fruit. They don't have to work for it. They're in the sun. They receive rain. And the fruit is a byproduct of them being who they are. As a healthy, growing follower of Jesus Christ, it's not work to produce fruit in your life. When you're walking in the divine privileges that God has promised you in the document of your inheritance. Go to that last slide for me, Lex. Your life should be affecting lives around you. When you're walking in the grace of God, when you walk in rooms, it should change. When you're walking in the peace of God, your workplace should be different because of it. When you walk with a holy swagger, not prideful, not arrogant, not cocky, but you walk with a Holy Spirit swagger, your neighborhood should be different. I'm still believing for all of Fawcett playing McKeesport to be here. Listen, Fawcett and Summit and Franklin Street are rocking right now. I'm dead serious. Listen, we have a turtle in our neighborhood. He's 25 pounds. He goes for walks. His name's Dog. I can't wait for you all to meet him. My goal is for him to be walking in a parade with us at the end of May. I'm dead serious. We just met him the other day. I'm dead serious. There is a turtle in our neighborhood. He's 25 pounds. He's going to be 200 pounds if he gets to be full grown. His name is Dog. Our neighborhood was outside. We met a turtle. These people, we're gonna invite him to church. And you're going to meet Dog, the turtle. When you're walking blameless, things should change around you. When you know the worth of your redemption, the cost that was paid for you, you should have a confidence that oozes out of you. Do you know what was paid for me? You know? Bro, stacks. What's the word now? You don't say stacks anymore. Racks on racks on racks. All of the racks. Every rack you can think of. There's a confidence when you know that you've been forgiven and everything's been forgiven. That doesn't mean you get out of jail free card. No, that means that your heart has been changed and transformed, and that stuff that used to rule you doesn't rule you anymore. I was driving yesterday, and I don't know if the guy called me an idiot or he was calling somebody next to me an idiot, but I was so thankful that my flesh doesn't rule me anymore. I was so thankful. I looked at my mother-in-law. I was like, that guy's lucky that I know Jesus. I'm just being real with you. I got a flesh too, guys. But I've been forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm changed and transformed. Or else that guy would have found out what an idiot looks like. I am assured that God has a plan for us. Not just for my family, but for us, for His church. And guess what? I want the world outside of these walls to be changed. And that shouldn't put a weight on you. That should take a weight off of you. Because you don't have to do it. You don't have to change anybody. You just have to be an example of the one who changes you. If you're going to say you have grace in your life and you have peace in your life and there's a holiness about you and you are blameless and you've been bought back and you've been set free and you're forgiven and the cross is real and everything that Jesus did on it was for you and for everybody outside of these walls and that tomb is empty, your life should reflect it. People should see it. You shouldn't be cranky. I heard a saying this week that I've never heard before. It was from a conference in the South. Don't walk around looking like you. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. I can't even repeat it because we're not in the South. It doesn't make sense anymore. I'm not going to say it. But you should be changed and transformed, privileged. So here's the question. This is what we've been leading to. All of this may not even make sense to you, and here's why. You haven't taken your position yet. You haven't been adopted in. Your paperwork hasn't been signed. So if you don't have a day, a date, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. May 1st, 2022 at 11:58 a.m. in White Oak, Pennsylvania, 15131. Jack's Run Road, 3001. I want you to know where you're going to spend eternity. I want you to know that you've been forgiven. I want you to know that you've been bought back. I want you to know that you're starting the sanctification process. So if you don't know, I want you to do something real simple. I want you to officially believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and you will be saved. Saved from a life separate from Him. Saved from a life that is led by sin. So if you want today to be your day, if you know that you don't have that time or you've received what He did on the cross, I want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. I need today to be my day. Anyone at all today? Amen. I see that hand. Keep it up so we can celebrate. Keep it up. Anyone else? Anyone else want to join their brother? Anyone else? Don't hold back. Maybe you want to rededicate your life today. Say, you know what? I tried to rip up the papers. I tried to rip up the papers of my inheritance. But I'm coming back home today. Anyone at all? Father God, I thank you for the young man that decided to give his life to Jesus today. Heaven rejoices with him, Lord. Father God, I thank you so much for that young man. God, I thank you for that his eternity has been set. Lord, I thank you that he's taken his rightful position as a son. Lord, that he is a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Lord, we celebrate that fact. And Lord, I thank you that there are going to be men that are going to surround him and pray with him and help him walk through what he just did. And they're going to put this document in his hand so that he can review his inheritance and understand who he is and who you are and the promises that are spoken over his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. you came in, you should have received the elements. We're about to receive communion. If you didn't, just slip your hand up. The ushers will get them in your hands. But we need constantly reminded who we are, sons and daughters. And one of the ways that we do that is to take moments and remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. And if we've taken our rightful position as a son and a daughter, or a daughter, we've placed ourselves in a covenant relationship with Jesus. And by placing ourselves in that covenant relationship, it's not just for us, it's for others as well. That means there's a third party benefit, because it's not a contract. Jesus was sitting with his disciples and he was breaking bread with them, and he was very clear that he wanted his disciples to take the bread as a remembrance of the body that was being given for them. And he wanted them to drink of the wine as a symbol of the blood that was going to be shed for them. The body is the sacrifice that was paying the cost for us, the blood that was washing us clean of our sins. So as we partake today, I want us to celebrate the fact that we are redeemed. The cost has been paid. Our debt was paid in full by what Jesus did on the cross. And we have the right now to stand blameless before the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's partake together. Drink of the juice together that washed us clean. Church, it's a pleasure and honor, privilege to worship God with each and every one of you. That's how we're going to begin to wrap up our time today. So let's stand to our feet and let's worship God for who He is.